Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening. Welcome to Amongst Friends, everybody. We're asking everybody tonight to call in. We have a hot topic, 760-683-2662. Our topic is tonight, why are Christians spiritually weak? And before we jump in, just wanted to invite our other, and say hello, sorry, to our other host. Say hello, everybody. Deidre?
Hello.
And Brother Jeff.
All right, all right, all right.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Right.
Wow, very interesting. Let's jump right into the topic. Why are Christians spiritually weak? I polled a couple of friends and some people I know, and one of the questions I want to ask, and you can call in, are Christians spiritually weak and why? What do you think, Brother Jeff?
I think that they're looking for, when you come into it, I think a lot of people are looking for something to stand on, and because they're not strong individuals from the jump, that they are not really, they're not strong Christians. So I feel that they're weak because when they come into it, like I said, they're coming into it looking for something to stand on to make them whole. Not that they're whole already, looking for something to just take them to the next level, so to speak. So that's my take on it.
Okay, what do you mean when you say next level?
Something to, if I feel that I'm a strong individual, I have just about everything I need, but I don't have that, I don't have that church connection, that connection to God. That would be me, a strong individual, taking it to the next level. That's how I see it. But when you're like, in a bad situation, you're locked up in jail, you're in a bad way, and then you come to the church, that is where I feel that you are a weak Christian, because you're coming into it looking for something to make you whole, and you put everything into that.
But what about
what do you think,
I was just going to say, okay, so I get where you're talking about, you know, I'm just coming in, I'm a new babe in Christ, you know, I'm just getting into the whole church thing, so everything is new, not quite sure. But what about the people that's been there for 20 and 30 years, grew up in the church, know the Lord, love him, all this kind of stuff, and they're saying the same things over and over again? When people start talking about your faith and your walk and what have you, is, oh, I don't want to talk about that, or you know, it's just like they're unsure, whereas you have Jehovah's Witness who will come and knock on your door and tell you about, you know, their beliefs, or you have Muslims who are standing on the side of the road, or you have different people standing out doing different things. But Christians, it's, yeah, we'll get you when you come into church. And then when they go through, it's like, oh, I can't take it. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. So I'm trying to understand, why is it, if we're spending all of this time, year after year, going to the revivals, year after year, going to the 40 days of success and the New Year's fasting and all this kind of stuff, if you're doing all of that, that's supposed to be lifting you up and encouraging you, why are you still going through the same struggle? And if you're going through the same struggles, then are you spiritually weak? I mean, because that's what it looks like.
Well, it's just me, but if you walk the way Jesus walked, how do you not expect to? How do you not expect to have some turmoil somewhere because you're walking the walk of somebody who got crucified?
Well, no. I'm not saying that you don't go through stuff, but if you're going through the same thing, at what point are you strong enough to bear what it is? Or even if you are using Christ as an example, he knew what his purpose was. His purpose was to go to the cross. He knew he had to endure. He knew that this is what I have to do. But if you were to tell some of the people who are in these churches that, baby, this is what you're going to go through. You're going to lose your legs. You're going to get AIDS. Ain't nobody ever going to want you. But this is the life that Christ has for you. No, I'm going to pass on that one. I'm good. I mean, I'm just saying.
No, you don't walk the walk and then that's like flipping a switch to it's all milk and honey, baby.
No, ain't nobody said that. At least Deidre ain't said that, and I'm the only one talking. I ain't said that the walk is going to be easy. What I'm saying is, using myself, a couple of years ago, if somebody was to come to me and start talking about the Muslim faith or start talking about the Torah and start talking about, this is what it says in the Bible and what about this and what about that, I'd been like, hold up. No, perfect example. I'm going to give you a perfect example. When I was 18 years old, I was raised in the church, strict Baptist. This is what I am. Jesus died on the cross for my sin. That is it. He is Lord and Savior. You better not question God. That is it. But then I got out on my own, and I was in the house with an atheist, a Christian, and a Catholic. And one of the atheists was, she was hating God because her father had passed away from AIDS. And we were sitting around in the apartment, and we were talking, and the Christian was trying to encourage her and tell her, God is still good, and there's a reason for everything. And she, that atheist, she went in. Why would a God that is of love take away my dad, and he ain't this, and he ain't that, and oh my gosh, and blah, 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 and I can't take this, and he's a hypocrite, and God is the devil, and all this kind of stuff. And I literally was freaked out. I mean, I was like, trembling, like, oh my gosh, the ceiling is going to open up, and God is going to strike us all down, because, girl, you are not supposed to be questioning God. But remember, for 18 years of my life, I have been in the church, have read the scriptures, believe in my heart of hearts that God is who he say he is. But as soon as that girl started talking and started questioning my faith or what I believe in, I didn't have anything to say. I was shut up and trembling in my bones talking about, oh my gosh, what do I do? And so that's why I wonder why it is that Christians are so weak Are we afraid? Have we been scared? Is it a control thing? Why are Christians so weak? Is that why people don't really want to believe in Christ? I'm not saying that the road is supposed to be easy, because it's not. I'm just asking the question of why.
Well, let me give you one of my theories that I kind of composed from asking some people that I know. And please call in if you have any questions or comments, 760-683-2662. One of the reasons, and I got this from a pastor friend of mine, he said that Christians are not prepared for conflict. And I kind of had to agree with him. I think that, and this is just my opinion, I think that a lot of times when we are introduced into Christianity, or when you grow up into Christianity, you're taught that Christianity is correct. And I don't think that a lot of times you just question, okay, this is right. You don't question it. It's the same to question God, and that's that. And I think that a lot of times we take that as at face value. But I don't know if that actually prepares us for the real world or prepares us for conflict. And, Deidre, I think your point kind of confirmed one of my first points, that we're not prepared for conflict. I don't think that anybody taught you how to prepare for somebody coming at you that way. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. I believe it wasn't, I wasn't prepared, but then also it wasn't so much that I was being taught relationship with God. It was, this is what the Bible says, so I need you to commit this to memory. And I need you to believe that God died on the cross for your sins. Why? Because I said so. So it was more, this is what I remember. This is all I've ever known. Just like, you know, my mother, I was born to my mother, and I know she's my mother, not because I was there at birth, but it's because that's what she told me. That's all I've ever known. And that's the same way how religion came into my life. It was not that I was taught a personal relationship with him. It was, I was taught, this is what it is, so this is what you believe. So, yeah, going into that situation, I'm very weak. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how. I didn't know how to explain my relationship with him, because, you know, you hear the preachers in the churches today saying, you have to know Christ for yourself. You can't know Christ based on what your grandmother or what your mother or your brother or your friends. You have to know him for yourself. And so at that time, that was when it really hit me that I needed to dig deeper and establish my own relationship, because the end of that story is I called my grandmother that same night crying, talking about, Grandma, you said that you're not supposed to question God. And do you know what she said? Well, baby, that ain't exactly true. And that blew me away. It was, that's when I went and started cultivating my own relationship. And so, you know, like you said, we're not prepared. So I believe that's why we're Christians are spiritually weak, because they're being taught to mimic.
Wow, that's pretty deep, Deidre. Let me give you a couple of facts. Muslims, well, not Orthodox Muslims, but black Muslims, are taught the Quran and the Bible. And where I grew up, you weren't even supposed to read any other religious material. But they are taught the Quran and the Bible so that they know how to encounter conflict with Christians. And they're taught that so that they can find what I like to call loopholes in the Bible, so they can show black people how Christianity is wrong or it is not the religion for them. We have a caller.
We do have a caller, but they're being screened at the moment, so give us like 5 seconds.
All right. Also, Jehovah's Witnesses are taught to read the Bible. And they're taught to read the Bible so that when they knock on the doors of other religions, they can understand and have a counter answer for Christianity. So it was funny to me in the study. Who's the caller, DJ?
The caller is Tim from Texas.
All right. How you doing, Tim?
God bless you. I'm doing great. I was invited to the conference. I'm gonna, hopefully I won't be on too long. I was invited to the conference or to the radio host, and so I was listening to the questions as why are Christians spiritually weak, and I hope I'm gonna try to get my point off quickly. I believe one reason why Christians are weak is not, I believe it's not only because of the lack of ambition or the lack of there's another word, proficiency in the spirit. I believe it's also because of the fact that we are afraid to challenge ideas that are presented. And that's one thing that I believe also in, even in as America, as a citizen. I believe it's beyond just Christianity. I believe it's just human sometimes to challenge the beliefs or the understanding of a particular sect or group or union or legislative branch or government, because any time that you present challenges as in questions, you are looked at as an individual who is obstinate and who is insubordinate. So, for instance, if you were on your job and you asked, why does the company does these things in this manner, you are presented to be insubordinate, obstinate, or a troublemaker. And I believe one of the reasons why, among multiple reasons why Christians are so weak, is because, one, we do not, first of all, before I open my mouth and to present an idea or to present an opposition to a theory or an idea that is opposed, I research it first. I have, as the young lady said earlier, you know, there's many times I was sitting in church and my aunt would say words that have no relevance or no meaning, or I would not understand it. And so I would become concerned as to why do you say stuff like that, or why do you think that way? And then, as the young lady said, your grandmother said, well, it's not that case. Or for my mother, it is the case, you know. And for me being Kojic, as of my background, I was always wondering why the money seemed to go up, but it never would funnel down to support the people that are supporting the people who are supposedly the leaders. And so I've always understood. I was trying to get some type of understanding as why I have to pay $12, my pastor got to pay $300, superintendent got to pay $1,000, and it just keeps going up, but there's no money funneling down. I was trying to understand that. Well, I believe one sign that a Christian is weak is when you don't have a question. If you don't have a question and you don't have a theory and you don't have an opposing view, you're actually showing weakness by remaining silent than you are speaking. And so the reason why I say that an individual needs to open up their mouth and to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it's not just to say I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm saying something because my redemption is validating my opinion or my thoughts to the opposing view or to the view that's being withstand. See, the reason why I say that is because I am redeemed, I want to know, why did Jesus die for me? Why is his blood so significant in my life? Why is God on the throne, and what is my purpose on the earth? Am I just to take up space, or am I to fulfill the destiny that God has called me to be in? So one reason why Christians, I believe, are so weak naturally is because we do not take the time to investigate ourselves before we go to anybody else. We do not take the time to initially understand who we are as God has made us upon this earth before we can actually go forth and to exemplify his rule and his reign upon the kingdom. And so weakness is only shown when you are not confident in who God has made you to be. I believe weakness is shown when you have no identity, when you cannot say what who you are or what you are. I believe that's when weakness is definitely shown. And I believe Christians are so weak is because they don't know they're Christians.
Hmm.
Wow.
Wow, thank you so much.
Wow.
We got Brother Joey on the line.
Hey.
Hey, would you like to chime in on what the caller said?
Yeah. No, that actually was a totally different kind of spin on where my ideas of why the Christian was spiritually weak. I've been listening since 9 o'clock, and everything you guys have said so far has been awesome. But I definitely, just to kind of give my points, because I kind of feel like we are, you know, and you all kind of brought up some of the reasons why I feel like we're spiritually weak, those of us who are Christian. And I think the first reason is that we are separate. You know, I believe that Christianity, even when you kind of name like Jehovah's Witness and Catholics, a lot of people think that they are a separate religion, but they are Christians. They are under the branch of Christianity. But like, and so I think the biggest part is that we're weak was because we're so separate in a lot of our ideas and a lot of our beliefs, when we're all supposed to be one body, one faith, one baptism. I think so. That's one of the reasons that I think we're so weak is because we're so separate. Jehovah's Witnesses are Christian. They're just a different denomination. And I think that part, because we can't come together on some of the basic fundamental truths of Christianity. And it's not about, well, is there, to me, now this is my opinion, but it's not about what heaven is going to look like, who's going to rule heaven, what hell is going to be like, how long are you going to burn, or whether your soul is eternal, because those are theological debates, but I don't think those are the fundamental principles of Christianity, and I think we miss out on it. The fundamental, or the parts that's the most important to Christianity, in my opinion, and which makes us as a Christian body as a whole weak, is that we don't believe or we don't profess that Christ is Savior, that Christ is Lord. And that's the part. And like the gentleman that just called, him saying and telling people why his blood is significant, and not just saying he is Lord or he is Christ, like Deidre said, because that is what we were told, but actually having a relationship and an experience and sharing that experience instead of saying, well, you are the immortal soul, the soul is not immortal, God imbues immortality, or having people saying, well, I differ in that because you need to make sure that you can make the body and the blood more, you know, eating the crackers and the wine more, is more significant than you going out and, you know, going out and telling someone that Jesus is Lord, or it's more important that people understand that heaven is going to be ruled by 144,000, like all of these things, in my opinion, not saying they're not important, but they're minuscule or they're minute in comparison to the importance of Christ and his love. And then the second reason, I'm going to be quiet, I have many, but the second reason I believe is that we make the major things minor, and we make the minor things major in Christianity. And what I mean by that is that we spend so much time trying to cast out spirits, which is, again, I'm not saying that's not important, but we have the hierarchy of our role as Christians mixed up. So we're in church, or we're in the church house, and we're trying to cast out spirits, and we have no idea how to do it or what that really means. We're trying to speak in tongues, but I have no idea what that really means. But nobody is out there feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, No one's out, you know, and I'm not saying all Christians are not doing it, but I'm saying we put that last. Everything else, oh, making sure the anointing oil is ready and speaking to these spirits. And I'm like, but this is the, if you look at it, Jesus met the people's needs first. He was out there. And I think that's what makes us weak, in that we put the stuff that's major. And to me, for Christians, the things that are major is going out there and ministering and serving the needs of God's people is what's important. And then gaining through giving of yourself, asking God to refresh and refill you through prayer, fasting, and reading your word, and gaining the power to speak to spirits, to tell the mountain to move out of your way. I think that is why we are weak, essentially.
All right. Thank you, Brother Joy. I want to get to Shanika from Texas. She's on the line. Hello, Shanika.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Real briefly, the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Then scripture goes also on to say, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so one reason that I believe that Christians are so spiritually weak, if you will, is because we fail to obtain knowledge. We fail to obtain the knowledge of God. The Bible says that the word is sharp like a two-edged sword. And so a sword, we know to be a weapon, something that you can fight with in your time of weakness. When it's time to go to battle, you need a weapon. And so if we are not in the word, then, you know, where does our strength come from? Another reason why I think that we are weak, if you will, is because we fail to seek after the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a keeper. The Holy Ghost is a keeper. The Holy Ghost, honey, the Bible instructs us that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was amongst the people, that was power. First of all, they were with one accord, but there was a power. And so we don't carry these days. Remember when we was little, back in the old days, grandmother them, and you know, they would tarry with us, and the Holy Ghost was so encouraged. It was so encouraged, honey. They was going to force the Holy Ghost on you. You going to get this.
Excuse me for interrupting. I just want to make sure that all of the callers, everybody can understand where we're coming from. Could you explain to everybody what you mean when you say we don't seek or we don't have the Holy Ghost? Everybody might not understand what you're saying.
Okay. Deidre mentioned earlier. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just for those who may not understand what the Holy Ghost is, everybody who listens to us is not necessarily a religious person or a Christian. So I just want to make sure that we kind of keep everybody kind of breath. I don't want to lose any of the callers in the conversation.
Okay, hold on one second, because I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
I'm turning my phone up. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to make sure we don't lose any of the callers who don't understand what the Holy Ghost is. So if you could just explain that to them.
Okay. The Holy Ghost, like you said, we do have a lot of different callers on the line. The Holy Ghost is what we know and to believe. We believe in the Trinity. I don't know if everybody, you know, online believes in the Trinity, the Father, you know, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is nothing, you know, other than a third person, you know. In here, baby. Yeah, but the power, the Spirit of God, if you will, that's what I'm trying to say. Y'all forgive me, I got these little babies over here. But we, the Holy Ghost, you know, the Spirit of God, you know, the Holy Ghost, it's a, we know it to be, you know, a keeper. You know, we know the Holy Ghost to be a representation, if you will, of God, you know, within us, you know. So, of course, you know, you had God, you know, who was man, who was, you know, made flesh, but after, you know, He dies and he ascends into heaven, then the Holy Ghost is what we rely on. It's a form of God that, you know, that's here on earth, you know, with us, that, you know, that walks with us. But, of course, you have to receive it. Am I making sense?
Yes. I just wanted to make sure that all the callers understood what you were talking about. You can continue.
And so, of course, the Holy Ghost, you know, it's a teacher. And when you fail, to have it, if you will, to acquire it, to seek after the Holy Spirit, I would submit that, you know, that's where a lot of our weaknesses come from, because, I mean, I know it to be a keeper, you know, and that's not something that we were taught in the Baptist church, you know. And so it goes back to, you know, studying to show thyself approved. You know, the Bible says, as I stated earlier, it says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so, you know, even with something so small as that, like you said, repeated because people may not know about it, we're perishing because we're not studying. But I'm going to go ahead and mute my phone, and I'm going to tune back in a second. I need to get my kids situated.
Okay, Shanika, we thank you for your call. Wow, you guys have covered some of my points. Joy, I don't know if you got my first point. One of my points is that we're not prepared for conflict. The other thing is that a lot of Christians are spiritually weak because they don't have a personal relationship with the God that they serve. And I'm going to give my opinion. Yeah, I think that that's really big, because when you don't have a personal relationship, a lot of times you go from memory or you go from somebody else's experience. And it's really hard to explain certain things to a person if you haven't experienced it. It's praise and worship, be that through a song. But I think there has to be an interaction between the two. And when there's an interaction between the two, I think relationships develop. And when you have a relationship, you have power. Here's my problem when I think about there not being a relationship. I think we're spiritually weak, and I think the proof of it is that people don't respect godly people anymore. I remember there was a time that guys could be standing on a corner, and if a Christian walked past, the guys would take off their hat, they would take their cigarettes, they'd put them behind their back, they would stop drinking, they wouldn't drink in front of the church, they wouldn't curse in front of the church. And I believe that's because that the people had relationships, and the people had power, and the presence of God, I think, was recognizable, or more recognizable than it is now. And I just don't think that enough Christians have relationship with God so that there is a reverence for God like there used to be.
Well, I would even venture to say, PJ, that the reason why you have people who do not respect the men or women of God is because when they look at them, they look just like them. So why is it that I will hide my liquor or close my mouth in giving you respect or putting my cigarette away when you're doing exactly the same thing that I'm doing? So where is the standard? Because right now you're telling me that what I'm doing is okay. Now, I understand that we meet people where they are. But if I'm doing exactly what you're doing, if I'm in the pulpit and I'm preaching the word of God, but I have five women on the side, how are you any better than I am? If I'm in the pulpit or I claim to go to church every Sunday and I'm laying hands and prophesying and praying for people and getting up and singing a good word, but I'm out doing, I'm selling drugs or I'm doing this or I'm doing that, how am I different from the people on the outside? All the only difference I'm seeing is you sing a good song or you're praying a good prayer or you're prophesying a good word. How are you different? So if we're no different, why should I respect you?
I understand. And just for clarity's sake, I just want to make sure that we're clear. Your first statement was, how can we be that when we look the same? When you say look the same, did you mean do the same? Because you can look the same as somebody and have different behavior.
Okay, well, let's talk about, well, what I'm saying is looking, we can all look the same, you know, but I'm talking about our actions.
Okay.
If I am
totally
saying,
agree with you.
Okay.
I totally agree with you, but when you said look, my thought was, I had a different thought because there used to be a time when you can almost tell somebody was a Christian because they dressed totally differently than somebody who may not have been a Christian. And I still believe that if your life is different, I still think it's going to show. I'm going to venture to say, and I might get in trouble for this, everybody who's proclaiming Christ, everybody who's singing, everybody who's preaching, everybody who's pastoring is not a Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was quiet.
Don't get in trouble for that.
Yeah,
well,
I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Well,
I agree. Well,
no,
I agree.
That's my belief. And I think that sometimes
I totally agree.
Sometimes, right. I think sometimes Christians are, and it makes me ask, are Christians spiritually weak, or does Christianity get a bad name from hypocrites? But that may be a whole nother.
That's a whole
nother show, and I don't want to get too far off.
Right.
But I think that Christians have to maintain a relationship with Christ in order so that you're not spiritually weak. It's difficult for someone who is not a Christian to respect someone who claims to be a Christian, and they both do the same thing. Now let me say this in defense of Christianity. We may have the same lust, and I think that we need to be real with some of the things that we talk about. And I understand there's somebody lying. I'm going to make this point, and then we're going to hear from Pastor Smith. I think that we as Christians don't tell the truth enough times. Deidre made a point when she was saying, you know, her grandmother said this, and then when the rubber met the road, her grandmother said, well, maybe that's not true. I'm not saying that your grandmother is not truthful. She's not telling
the truth.
Because
I have to come and fight you over that. Now watch what you're saying now.
Right, I just said that. But I don't think that we are transparent enough as Christians. Because I thought that when you became a Christian, all of your desire would go away.
Oh my.
All of your lust, all of your Adam nature, everything that, you know, all the things that Christians shouldn't do, I thought that would automatically go away. And I had to wrestle with that in my early stages of Christianity until I finally got in a relationship and learned that the real challenge of Christianity is not that you don't have the desire. The real challenge is that you have the desire, but you love Christ more than you love your desires, or you love Christ more than you want to please yourself. I'm not going to get too far in that. Pastor Smith has been patiently waiting on the line. Pastor Smith, welcome to Amongst Friends. Please give us your question or comment.
God bless you. I am excited and delighted to be here. I've just been sitting and listening for the last 10 minutes from Evangelist Carter to yourself. It's been some good stuff said. But I just want to say this, and then I'm going to back up and keep listening to Deidre and all of this stuff. Some great information. I'm glad to be here. But I want to say this. The reason why these preachers are not holding up, or these pastors, or these evangelists, these ministers, these co-laborers, they're not holding up to the standard, is because they don't carry no glory. They don't have no power. And so when people from the block are smoking the cigarette or they drinking, I'm from the Baptist church, but I moved on because I wanted, there was a different hunger for God. So you see, the prophet or the pastor see a guy smoking or drinking, or you know some fornication is going on, but the thug can see it in the pastor before the pastor can see it in the thug. It's because these guys don't carry no glory. They don't have no power, and so they not living a standard. They can't live by anything, and so when these other people come, these thugs or whatever you want to call them, it don't just have to be thugs. It could be somebody. It doesn't matter what it is. But when they come and they see that the preachers or the Christians, let's say, are not living what they're singing or what they're preaching or what they're supposed to be living the standard by, yeah, they don't want to be a part. Let's go back to what y'all are talking about. That's why the spiritual, the Christians are weak. It's because the people that they are holding on to are spiritually weak themselves. The people that are preaching every Sunday are preaching a word, but they're dying within themselves because they are not being accountable to somebody. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
These guys are not accountable to what they're preaching. These guys, they don't carry the power. They don't have the anointing. They don't have the glory. Back where I come from and now growing up, when you know that a preacher is anointed, you won't even go around them because you know they can see and you know they can sense what's going on in your life. But these days, these top head guys, we're not calling no names, but these top head guys are falling by the wayside. These guys are falling by the wayside because they don't have no power. They preaching a good word. They can articulate, but you can read this stuff in this Bible and still live a nasty and filthy life. So what's the use of trying to preach to people that are sick and weak when you are sick and weak yourself?
Mm.
The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. But if you ain't got no strength, how are you going to preach to people that are dying mentally and physically, but they coming, they paying their tithe, they praising when you say praise, but they can see that the pastor is struggling. They can see that the evangelist is struggling. They can see that the prophetess is having an issue with her flesh because she can't preach about fleshly stuff. All she preaching about is tithe and shouting. But when it comes to fornication, they can't talk about that because that's the issue that they're struggling with. This is the reason why people are dying in the church, is because the same thing that the member is dying of, the pastor is dying as well.
Pastor,
so this is why.
Your point. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine. I'm through. Go ahead.
I can talk all day. I felt you going from third to fourth gear, so I figured I'd jump in there.
That's just me, man. But it's crazy. It's just, you know, we're talking about being transparent. You can't be real and transparent if you're not transparent with yourself. You can't stand up before the people and say God has delivered me from homosexuality. You can't stand up and say that God has delivered me from weeds and drugs and alcohol, and you still struggling with that private demon yourself. But you stand up and before people and say God has done this, God has delivered me, and then when you get back in your nice car that the people are paying for, you still struggling with what they're trying to come out of.
Oh, my.
I'm done. I'm going to shut up.
Now, you know, a preacher talks at least 10 minutes after he says he's done.
That's what they say, but I'm done for real.
Okay.
So let me ask you this, Pastor, and then I'm going to make a point from what you said, and I just want to make sure that all of our listeners have clarity. Do you think, well, how does one operate even though he or she is struggling, especially those who are leaders in the church, because that seems to be the representative of Christianity. So what is the protocol if the pastor is struggling? What's the protocol if the minister of music is struggling? And it's still their assignment to lead the people.
The protocol for the minister or the pastor that is struggling, he must be himself accountable to another bishop or a preacher himself that can see that there is an issue. All right? Let's go to the Bible. The Bible says study. I heard a young lady say it earlier, another evangelist say it earlier, study to show thyself approved. These guys are just reading this text just to preach to people, but they're not really taking the word by faith and believing it themselves. We got to get out of the formality of just preaching, shouting, but nobody is getting deliverance. Let's just say, I'm going to answer your question. The preacher is not being dealt with. He must be accountable to somebody. Everybody has to be accountable to somebody that can see that they are going through, that can see that this is what they need to be delivered of. You said it earlier, relationship. If you ain't got no relationship, you have nothing. It comes from relationship. We can buck all day, but it's relationship.
All right. I'm going to piggyback off of something that you said just so that our listeners understand. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and the actual name of it was the Five Baptized Holiness Church. Very small group of people. But there were people who had a relationship with God, who spent a lot of time praying and reading the Bible, and they had what's called discernment. And I just want to make sure that all of our listeners understand what I'm saying. And the discernment is the ability to see things that are not physically there. And I'll give you an example. We had an old church mother. Her name was Mother Hargrove. And I loved Mother Hargrove whenever I was doing what I was supposed to do. But whenever I was not doing what I was supposed to do, I hated Mother Hargrove. I didn't want to see her. I didn't want to be around her. And if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, I would walk whatever path was furthest away from her. And it seemed like every time I would do that, somebody said, well, Mother Hargrove said she wanted to see you. And Mother Hargrove somehow knew all of my business, even when I was doing stuff in the dark. And Mother Hargrove would say, well, son, I've been praying for you all week. And God doesn't like who you hanging around. Those boys are going to have guns. Now, they were talking about it, but they're going to have guns in a couple months. And if you keep hanging around them, you're going to get shot. And I promise you, almost to the day, the minute and the hour, whatever she said was going to happen, happened. And I believe that she had that because she had a relationship with God, and she lived a different standard. I don't want to take this too far out, but I think that one of the problems and why a lot of Christians are weak is because we are afraid to call out sin. Here's what I believe. I believe that right is right and wrong is wrong. Even if I'm not doing right, it is still right and wrong is still wrong. So I am guilty a lot of times for calling things out just kind of the way they are, whether I'm right or not.
And I think that once we, and Joey said it, once we decide that Jesus is Lord and, you know, the Bible says let God be true and every man a liar, then I think that we can get somewhere. We got a Mike from Maryland. Brother Mike, you there? All right, calling Brother Mike twice.
Mike jamming.
But I don't. Huh?
I said Mike is jamming.
Brother, I believe Brother Tim from Texas has a comeback and wants to say something else. So since Brother Mike isn't here, we're going to let Brother Tim have another comment.
Oh, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I wanted to tag on to one of my, I call her my spiritual aunt, Shanika Etta, evangelist, Shanika Beck. I wanted to catch on to her, or tag on to what she said in the past. I believe earlier I was trying to, let me get to the point. The question is, why are Christians so weak? My first thought was to break down the question. The question is, why are Christians? I stopped at the word Christian. The tag on the word Christian is I-A-N, which basically means I am a citizen of the culture or of the person that I am abiding in. So if I am a Texan, that means I am a citizen or I am accepting the cultures and the nature and the nationality of Texas. So when you are a Christian, you have simply accepted the culture, the nationality, and the theory and the theology and the philosophy of Christ. So the thing about it, the problem that we're have coming against is the question is, are you a Christian? Because if you are a Christian, Christ's DNA would exhibit strength. It would exhibit exhibit righteousness. It would exhibit wisdom. It would exhibit holiness. It would exhibit things that would be necessarily contrary to the things that you all are speaking about. So the question is, if I see struggle within you, the question is, are you a Christian, really? Because not necessarily saying that you're going to completely be over it, but with your yielding to the Christ that's within you, the struggle continues to die. If the struggle continues to get stronger, that means you are moving opposite of the direction that you're going, which we would call a backslider, which would simply mean I'm going back from the direction that's supposedly moving me closer to Christ. So if I am a Christian, I am susceptible, or I am accepting the culture of Christ. Okay, so the Bible says, and I believe 1 Corinthians 15:44, it says first spiritual, basically, then natural. For the main point is first natural, then spiritual. So why are Christians so weak? It's because the natural is weak. When the natural is weak, it's going to literally reverberate or connect to your spirit. So what am I doing naturally that's causing my spirit to be weak? What am I thinking of naturally that's causing me disconnected in the spirit? Christians are weakest because, one, they have not first, as I stated, identified themselves to be Christians. Two, they have not identified themselves to be linked up to the DNA of Christ, which simply means that I am exhibiting, or like the Bible says, let me be the mirror that reflects the image of Christ. So if I'm reflecting his image, then I should reflect his actions. I should reflect his personality. I should reflect his mentality. I should reflect his psychology. I should reflect him. The reason why we're not reflecting him is because we're not in the mirror. We're not under him. We're not Christians. We have not accepted the identity, or we have not. Basically, I'm not a citizen of Christ. I'm not in the land of Christ. I don't dwell in Christ. I don't live in Christ. So, therefore, I'm not a Christian. I'm a visitor. And so Christians are weak is because they are not identifying themselves or linking themselves up to the ones they claim to be associated with. First natural, then spiritual. One of my spiritual fathers gave me a quote, and he said, if you know yourself and your enemy, you need not to fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory you will also gain defeat. If you don't know yourself, neither your enemy, you will succumb and surrender in every battle. So if you are consistently losing, you have lost identity, and you don't know who you're fighting. and you don't know where you're going. And so Christians are weak because we don't know who we are, we don't know where we are, we don't know what we are, and we basically have taken on a culture or a custom based on one person's perspective versus our personal relationship and indication or correlation to the one we say we serve. Simple terms, if I'm a Christian, I need to exude Christianity.
I agree with you. I have one interjection on that.
Okay.
I have not read anywhere in my small time of study that your flesh is ever saved. So, I agree with you that your struggles, you know, certain things that you struggle with, your spirit man or the spiritual or the God part of you should get stronger as your flesh gets weaker. I just want to point out that that's something that we have to do on a daily basis. Tim, is that, I think there's a lot of noise coming from your phone. Could you mute your phone, please?
Yes, sir.
Sounds like birds choking. But I just want to say, I don't think that we're ever free from struggle. I think that we should have victories over struggle. I think that we should. I think our relationship, and as our relationship with God gets better, that we should have greater victories over those struggles. But I definitely agree that we have to be citizens of the culture. I got 30 minutes to make two more points. And here's my third point, and we've talked about it, but I just want to really hammer it in. We don't study. And a lot of us, a lot of Christians believe that they study. And as Brother Tim said, I think a lot of us know the lingo amongst other Christians, but I don't know if all of us as Christians or citizens of Christ know what we know well enough to explain it to someone who knows nothing about Christ, who knows nothing about Christianity. I think a lot of times real deep Christians have a hard time explaining Christ simply. For anybody who thinks that they're deep and they know the word, I say get an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an 11-year-old and start explaining Christ to them. And if you can make them understand it, then you have a very good handle on the word of God, because a lot of times kids will ask simple questions and they'll take all your deep theology and they'll make you flush it down the toilet. So for those who are listening, we have to study, not just to talk to other Christians. I think Christians are spiritually weak because we know the lingo of I'm only going to say Christ. I'll say of church. But I don't think we always have a handle on what it is that we know so that we can explain it to those who don't know. I think that a lot of times there is a gap between what we know and what we believe and us getting it across to another person. A lot of times we use words, and I'm not indicting anybody, a lot of times we use words like, you know, the anointing, we use words, I heard the anointing, I've heard Holy Ghost, I've heard glory, and sometimes for people who don't go to church or who don't have a relationship with God, they're not going to understand that, and we have to know this Christ that we talk about well enough so that we can relay or we can shine the light of Christ so that everybody can understand it. And Paul said that in his work when he was talking about speaking in tongues, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but he was saying that certain things are of null effect because nobody understands it. If nobody understands it, then it's not effective to those who don't understand. A lot of times, church people are effective to church people, but they're ineffective to sinners. So, So you might be strong in the eyes of another church person, but it really doesn't have that much weight outside of the four walls of your church. So sometimes we are so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. Sometimes
that's
we're so deep and so spooky that we can't talk to somebody who is drinking, but they don't really want to drink, and they're really looking for an answer. And if you would just say something that makes sense, they would turn. But a lot of times our lingo is so churchy, we can't make a simple person understand that. So we have to study not for other people, but we have to study so that sinners can be compelled. And a lot of times we do what we do to, you know, churches become big business. Let's just be honest. And a lot of times we do what we do to impress other church people. I won't even say Christians. But what we do and what we study and what we believe, we don't get to the root of it so that we can explain it to somebody else. Okay, a woman might say, well, I dance. I dance for money. This is how I make a living. Why should I not do this? You know, and you can say, well, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost can't dwell in an unclean temple. It may not make sense to a stripper that has never stepped in church for 5 minutes. And I think that we have to get to a point so that we can reach people, because everybody's not coming to church. And I think that, like Joe said, we've majored in some of the minors, because the Great Commission says nothing about wearing a nice suit or shouting or speaking in tongues. It says go into the utmost parts of the world and make disciples. And if we haven't studied enough so that we can make disciples, then we're, I won't say weak, I'll go a step further and say ineffective. Joey, it feels like you're burning to say something.
No, I'm not burning.
Okay.
You killing it. I mean, you definitely hitting on where I believe that's where the shift needs to happen, that we have to go back into the base principles of what Christ was about, and that was reaching people where they were. That's why he was so, I really think, besides him being fully God, I think that's why he was, why the point of him being fully man as well was important, because Christ, with all the power, with everything at his disposal, he was the, I believe, and this is just my interpretation of Christ and what I understand and what I appreciate about my relationship with him, was that he was able to reach people where they are, that he went to them right in their homes or on the street corner, so to speak. He was right there, and he was meeting their needs before he even gave them the kingdom of God is at hand. He gave them food. Before he gave them, this is my Father's will, he gave them clothing. He gave them hope. He just met them, and then he was able to see when he met those physical needs, or like you said, just simple, just giving them simple hope, he was able to see, even though he saw it beforehand because he was, you know, because he was God, but I think he was able to see it, and, you know, moving to his disciples, they were able to see the things spiritually once they met those physical needs, want the earthly or the manly, you know, the man needs. They met those things, and they gave people hope. They gave people a reason why Christ's sacrifice was important, because he loved you enough. He loved you while you were, you know, while you were right in your mess. And I think that's the part that we miss, that we truly miss. Like, so You hit me on the head, PJ, man. I don't have to say anything, because you know, you and the pastor and the brother from Texas, like, y'all are just hitting it on the head, because I just really think that we put the, which really are the bigger things, is is meeting people where they are and giving them the hope that this world can't offer, giving them something. And honestly, I think that's even where, and I might get in trouble for this, but I think that's where, you know, I know he's not going to be victorious, so that's where the devil gets, you know, gets more power, because he even meets people where they are. And I think that's what we miss out. That's what we miss out. We miss out on meeting them. We want them to be where we think we are. We want them to come where we're at, and we miss out on, and that's why I think the devil, although won't be victorious in the end, I think that's why the small battles are won, because he still meets people. He even meets people where they are, and he gives them that hope that we should be giving them.
Exactly. I have a small point, and then I have a huge point, and hopefully we can wrap this up. Church people, you can call back, because I got a couple of questions. One of the reasons we're spiritually weak is because we don't, as Christians, we don't come out of our hiding place. And our hiding place is the four walls of the church. And the four walls of the church has become, in the last 100 years, really a hiding place for us. And what I mean by that is, we do all of these things, and all of these great things happen in the four walls, but they don't happen on our job. And I'm going to get in a whole bunch of trouble, and feel free to call me and let me have it. But how can you be this powerful person in church and, you know, have the power to lay hands on the sick and people pass out, and then you get on your job and nobody knows that you're a Christian? How is that possible? How is it possible that all of these things can happen at church, and you can spend thousands of dollars and go to these conferences and do all of these things, but your next-door neighbor doesn't know that you really love the Lord and you haven't invited them to church, and they can feel okay, you know, having parties and getting drunk and doing anything, living next to this powerful person? Jesus, when he did most of the things he did not do them in church. And for those of you who are Bible scholars, please call me and tell me how many miracles Jesus performed in the temple. Because there weren't many, if there were any. His greatest works were outside of the temple. His greatest work was the cross. And the cross didn't even happen inside of the temple. Greater than the cross was his raising from the dead. That didn't happen in the temple. And then even after he arose from the dead, he wasn't in the temple. That's not where he hung out. And I think we put so much emphasis on the church, and it's not really about the church. And I'm going to say this, and it may open a can of worms, but I'm going to close it up, and I'm going to go to the next point. There's the church, and there's the kingdom, and they are two totally different things. And a lot of times, spiritually weak Christians impose the church onto other people, and not the kingdom. The church is not saving anybody. The church is not helping anybody. The church is not reaching anybody. The only thing that the church is doing is judging people. What people need is the kingdom of God. And if you're going to be a Christian, you are not in, I like the definition that Brother Tim gave for the church, that you're indoctrinated to the culture of Christ. And Christ came to set up his kingdom. He didn't come to set up his church. Okay, the church was already set up. He came to establish his kingdom. And we have to learn the difference, and I cannot get into it right now because we'll be here till midnight. But there's a difference between the church, the building, the rules of the church, the culture of the building and what happens, and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what's going to happen when all of this is over. The kingdom of God is going to be established. And when I say the kingdom of God, I mean a place where God rules and reigns sovereignly, not how it's ruled right now. So my point is this. We have to come out of our hiding place, and the church is not always the place where everything can happen, because some people aren't coming to church. We have to go to them, and I'll leave that right now. My last point, and we can talk about this for the next 20 minutes, is that Christians are spiritually weak because there are no horizontal, there are not enough, let me say that, there are not enough horizontal relationships going on. And what I mean by that is Christians don't show enough love to each other in order that somebody who is not a Christian would want to be a part of it.
Mm.
The Bible says this, they shall know we are Christians by our love. It does not say that they will know that we are Christians by how we shout. It didn't say that they'll know that we are Christians by how we give. It didn't say that they would know how we are Christians by how we speak in tongues, by how we foam at the mouth and lay on the floor. It didn't say that they would know that we are Christians by how we preach. The only proof of our Christianity is our love. And if we don't show love, who and what are we? You know, a lot of people, we talked about, you know, we talked about why you're spiritually weak, and very few people have said we're weak because we don't love one another. And I think that if the world saw the church love each other, that would be a bigger draw than any other thing that we can do. Because the preaching that we hear now, to me, is out of this world. I think it's better than the preaching that was 50 years ago. I mean, it's more on point. There's more study in it. There are more references. But a lot of times, people don't want to come to God because the doorway to God seems to be the church. And the only thing that a non-church person usually feels in church is judgment or condemnation. And what they should feel is love. I had an old church mother who used to always say that. She used to say, we don't love people into the church. We don't love people into their destiny. We don't love people into Christ. And she used to say this. She said, you got to catch a fish before you can scale a fish. And what she meant by that is you have to compel a person to get close enough to you or to become indoctrinated into your life before you start making changes in them. A lot of times we try to make changes in people without them having to change heart. We want them to change how they look, change how they dress. And I think that if you love somebody, you'll change their heart. And if their heart changes, then, and I'm back on relationship, if their heart changes, then they'll want to, you know, change how they look. You know, before my wife got married, she said, hey, I'm a grown woman. I'm going to dress how I want. You know, when I get married, I go, you know, I'm grown. I buy my clothes. I dress how I want. And over time, you know, she grew to love me a little more. And as she loved me, it was important to her how I thought she looked. And it's not because, you know, I rule with an iron fist that she asked me, you know, what looks nice, and that has nothing to do with it. But because I love her and she loves me and we have a relationship, it's important to her how I look to her. So there are certain things that if I don't like, she won't wear. Is that because, you know, I'm such a great leader or, I have a big fashion sense? No, it has nothing to do with that. And it's the same with me. When I wear something, I want her to approve it because we have a relationship. And love and not force and not judgment makes me change my behavior to please her and not anything else. So I think, and you can still call in. We still have another 15 minutes, 760-683-2662 is the number. I'm quite sure Brother Tim has at least one more point that he wants to make. But we don't have horizontal relationships, and we don't see love amongst each other. And I think that that is a crying shame amongst Christians. If anybody should love each other, it should be the Christian people. Deidre and Jeff, you guys have been quiet for the past 40 minutes. You want to chime in on that one?
I totally, oh my gosh, totally believe that love is the answer. There were a couple of situations where some things kind of went down and people separated themselves from me and from other people. And I was talking to a friend and they were like, wow, you know, I can't believe that after everything that happened, you still treat them as if nothing ever happened. And I believe that that's real key because, you know, as you say, we're known by the love that we show for Christ, because when people see us, what they're supposed to see is the love of God. That's how people are brought into the body. That's how people change. That's how people are moved far beyond what they could, would be, or will ever be. It's all because of the love of God. And so I think that that's really, really, really major. And it's funny that we would even talk about that, because next week we'll be talking about can we really be transparent in the church? And can you be free in the church? And I know that, you know, people talk about being liberated and being free and being, you know, no longer bound or anything like that, but it's the love. It's the love that we're supposed to have. And if we have love, then people can be free to be transparent. Because if I come into the church and let's just say that my sin is, you know, I just love the man, you know, he is 6'5" and he is looking like the Rock, and then he have five of the brothers and they all know how to go down and do what they need to do. And I'm saying, look, sex is a problem for me. Now, if I come to the altar and say sex is a problem for me, now are you going to be holding your husband a little bit tighter because I done now confess what's wrong with me and what I need help with? Can I really be transparent because I just left my house and I'm watching pornography? Can I be transparent and you love me through it? Yeah. So I agree with you saying love is the key. And, yeah, okay. I'll let somebody else talk. Go ahead, Jeff.
Brother Jeff, I mean, if it was me and you was being that transparent in the churches I was going to, and if I was hey, you
want to
be in that transparent, I'm
going to
tap you on your shoulder.
You know what? You know what?
I'm going to need you to press over you,
Jeff.
Jeff to the corner. Corner.
Oh my goodness.
Back on topic. Back on topic. Going back to PD's question, yeah, love, I know personally that love is a powerful thing, and I'm down with what he's saying about it, I'm down with what Deidre's saying about it. You know, I'm a child of God because my mama and my pastor told me so, but I'm the child of God that goes a little left. A lot of times, I try to go a little less the right, as much the right way as possible, but I'm off to the left. But I know that it is a love that I appreciate that comes from my church family. It is a love that I appreciate that comes from my family that, you know, sort of keeps me on that straight left path that I'm on. So.
Yeah, we're going to love you in the corner. That's what we're going to do, though.
I definitely agree that it's about love, though. And these last 2 years, you know, the scripture, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, you know, and saying that God loved us in that while we were yet sinners. Like that, these last 2 years of living, I mean, I've lived long, you know, 27 years, but just these past 2 years, God has made that scripture so real to me. And what he made plain to me, because I don't study like I should, I don't pray like I should, and I have struggled, and I'm transparent in that. I've struggled with, you know, living for God fully, has just been a struggle for me. But the one thing that I've never had to question God about, the one thing that I never struggle with, is that he loves me, and he showed me that this is why you need to love my people and the people that no one else will love, because I'm going to show you how ugly you are so that you can see that I still love you when you are at your lowest, ugliest point. And I've learned that I can praise the Lord, and I can bring, you know, I can open up praise and worship, and I can pray, and I can intercede. But God had to show me in these last 2 years how ugly I can be. And I knew I could be really ugly, but these 2 years, like, really opened it up. And then he said, and you know what? As ugly as you are, and how cruel and how mean you can be, I still love you. And that just completely transformed me, simply because he loves me. And there's no other explanation. It really is unconditional. And he's saying that same love that I have to you, you have to give to other people, even when they're ugly. And these last 2 years, Lord have mercy, seeing myself just at that, like, fully exposed was probably the hardest and scariest thing I ever seen and had to face. And so now, when the people are ugly, or the people I encounter are ugly, I love them fiercely, because that's what God does for me. So love, yeah, no. Love will bring you through some things, and love will really cover not just a multitude of sin, but it will empower you to face your weaknesses.
All right. Go ahead, yeah.
No, I was cracking.
He was talking from the corner.
Yeah, Jeff is supposed to be pressing the mute button, so I don't know what we did Jeff right now. I do not know why Jeff's voice is even on the station right now.
I know that you were going to give Tim another opportunity to speak if he had another comment. And we had some other callers who were on the line, and they may have had some comments or some questions or what have you to contribute. Well, we don't have any new callers. We just have a couple that are still on the line. We had a couple that raised their hand, and then they dropped off. So we're going to open up the queue so that they can
speak. Right, it's 10:24, so we got to leave the comments to a minute.
Okay, so
all right,
Tim, you got a minute if you have another comment.
My minute is basically, I'm going to read the text message I sent to my aunt. I said, females only change their name if their identity changes. That means as soon as I marry someone else, I take on their identity. And the Holy Ghost signifies the ring, which shows commitment. Weakness is only shown when I connect to other individuals who are weak. When I connect to people who have faulty or flawed marriages, or I connect to people who are destined to or who want to spiritually decay or corrode my marriage or my relationship, I believe that's what corrodes and disrupts or a spiritual strength. And so, as you're saying, love would always continually be around people who produce and induce love, being around people who encourage, be around people who are positively minded, be around people who inspire and bring affirmation from the Spirit of God. That's what will increase strength in someone's spiritual Christianity walk. And so, again, when I am a Christian, I would exude, or I would identify myself with his DNA. That means I will show love. I will be kind. I will be patient. I will have wisdom, and I will be simple. I know how to minister to someone. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. So I know how to execute wisdom in winning souls. I'm done.
Well, all right.
All right.
And then we are giving Pastor Smith, you have a minute if you have a comment.
I'm good. I'm enjoying y'all. I don't have anything to say. Glad to be here.
Okay. Then PJ, back to you.
Okay. I just wanted to read just a couple of points that I did in my study, just for some things for us to think about it. There are some that says that Christianity is a weak religion because it asks you to confess your sins, and it asks you to admit your weakness and to succumb to a higher being. Some people say Christians are spiritually weak because of fallen leaders. We've had over, not just in Christianity, but if you talk about Catholicism, which is a form of Christianity, and all forms of Christianity, we've had at least 11 major leaders fall in the past 5 years. Some say that it is weak because the people are weak and the people are hypocrites. And these are just things that I've gotten from, you know, just people that I know that I've asked. I've been around a lot of people who don't know anything about church. And I asked them these questions, and they've given me some really strange answers. Here's something to think about. Do we love our religion enough to die for it? There are certain sects of religions that believe that dying for your religion is an honor and not something to be afraid of. Do we love Christ enough to die for him as much as some of these other groups? And if we're not willing to die for him, how truly are we willing to live for him if we're not willing to die? Just something to think about. How strongly do we go out and try to tell others? How many people have we tried to convert? Is God keeping a number on the people that we convert? Is our reward in heaven based on how many people we convert? These are just things to think about. But if I had a final thought, I would say this. We are weak because we don't love enough. Love is always going to go further than judgment. It's better to challenge a person to be better than to condemn them for where they are. God is always looking toward the person's future, and a lot of times church people are always looking at your past. And we have to remember that God is looking at your future. And for everybody who Jesus met, he spoke into their future. He spoke into who they were going to be, and that's who he talked to, and not to who they were. It's 10:28. I want to wrap this up. I thank everybody for calling. I thank our host for participating. Our next week topic, DJ, if you can give it to me exactly, I think it's can we be transparent and free in the church? Please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're good.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. Yeah. Can we be transparent in the church? Is the church a place where we hold a lot of secrets and then these secrets get out and then it's a big mess? Think about those things as we talk next week. I don't have the exact time, but my clock says 10:29. How much longer do we have, Deidre?
And we are out.
For me,
Amongst Friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love,